Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful sunshiny day and hope you have a glorious day. Several announcements to make. Try to go through these quickly. First, if you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, phone number, and that type of information, we would appreciate it. Remind you that the nursery is open if you need it. We also have the library through here has a speaker. If anyone has a coughing attack or needs to go in there for any reason, you can. The more comfortable couch, if you would like that. Vacation Bible School will be held this week, July the 18th through the 22nd. This is a little late, but we still need one teacher. We need a recreation person to help with the activities so the children can play, and it can just take them outside and throw water balloons or do different things. It doesn't matter. Just something that they'll have a good time. So we could use someone. And I want to read these names off. So far we have, and I know not everyone is here this morning, but preschool, Barbara Kelly, grades 1, 2, and 3, Clara Kaler, snacks, Heather Perman, and Jen McComb, crafts, Anna Sangle, and Carol Kane. And then BJ heading up everything. So if you can come out and help, you can talk to BJ here. She would really like to have someone for the recreation and one more teacher, make things go a little smoother. The July issue in August of the Valley is on the table in the back. Some of you got it by email. If you have email and on our church and you did not get it by email, you can let us know that and we'll make sure you're on our email address list. Flower list you can sign up for. The youth group will be meeting July 24th and you can be planning on the annual pig roast in September. Macy's August 27th, you can talk to shop for calls to BJ, and she has tickets that you can get. Also, Dottie is out of town, one of our members. She gave her cell phone number and her other phone that you could leave a message on the other phone if you would like to call her. She's going to be gone for the summer and then back when the weather is cold, living with her family in two different places. So if anyone would like that number, please let me know. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is found on page 1. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Thank you. our worship to continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Let us find a sense of unity this morning in reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe let's take a moment and greet one another. Many guests here today. Ask their names. Get to know someone. want to thank the choir for being here this morning. They usually take the summer off, but they're here just for the baptism today. So a special thanks to them. Responsive reading is the new birth, 654 in the back of your hymnals. 654, the new birth. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit."
Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit.
You should not be surprised at my sayings. You must be born again.
The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going.
Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer, and you can submit your prayer requests, and then we pray. I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer, and in Presbyterian tradition, we'll say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Several names on the back of your bulletin. Ernie McFadden is listed in Manicure, but he is currently in St. Margaret's in room 531. He was taken over Friday afternoon. Libby, one of our members, happened to be visiting him and stayed with him until he was taken over by the ambulance. Then I went over and visited him with one of the family members for about an hour and a half. And so let's pray for him. Think he had a stroke. Also, for my wife Robin with her back surgery, and then Kathy Segi had surgery, and she's here with us today, healing up hopefully nicely. And continue to remember these other persons, and also not listed here, but Paul Kosherhook, who just finished up his treatments for his cancer and has knocked him down a little bit, so he's not been in the service for a few weeks. So let's continue to remember him and all the persons in our valley also. And let's remember the VBS, Vacation Bible School program, that starts Monday evening. And all the teachers and all the students. Any other prayer requests at this time? Bev? Okay. Wayne, who visits here on a regular basis, his wife Pat will have surgery Friday on her back. Which hospital, you know? Hospital? Passover. Okay. Okay. Prayer of thanks for Kathy for the prayers, cards, phone calls. Brother who's trying to make a decision on work, and Jeff Sears, who's been overseas. Let's continue to remember him. Anyone else? Two teenagers in her sister's youth group in a car accident. One in a coma, one with at least 10 broken bones. Let's remember them. Anyone else? And let's remember our youth group here at the church too. Safety for her best friend moving to Massachusetts tomorrow. Let's pray for all the members of our congregation that are on vacation, out doing things today, for safety, safe travel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and be in prayer also for the baptism. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and we confess before you that we are not perfect human beings. Even when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, we make mistakes, we sin. But we would like for you to point out our sins to us, that we can confess them and be cleansed of those sins. That we can take a good hard look at ourselves in the mirror and say, where can I improve my life? How can I be a better man, a better woman? How can I be a better spouse, a better worker, a better neighbor, a better citizen? How can I improve my life? Instead of trying to sit in judgment over others. Lord, help us to do that. A good, hard look in the mirror. Help us to accept you totally as our Lord and Savior, and to move forward in faith and power and love and mercy and forgiveness and understanding of people's shortcomings. Not often easy to do, but we need your help through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray today for all those who have been mentioned. Each individual situation is unique, and you are a unique God who cares for each and every one of us, and we thank you for that. Let us feel your love, your compassion. Touch each of us in the way that we need, not necessarily for what we want, but for what we need. We thank you for this church, for what it means to our lives, what it means for the community, for the sacrament of baptism, for our youth group, for our vacation Bible school, for our boards who are becoming councils, for the new form of government, for the change that is taking place within our church that we can deal with it and move forward. Help us to be better. Help us to grow in spirit and truth and numbers. Guide us in all that we do in our private lives and our church life. Lord, thank you that Jesus gave us so many parables as we look at one today. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, instead of having a screen song this morning for the baptism, we're having He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, 344. I know sometimes it doesn't look like it when there's sickness and there's war and there's a bad economy, but ultimately God is in control. 344. Thank you. Let's bow forward to Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ as it shines into our light, a beacon upon a hill that all who look to it can find salvation and eternal life. We are so, so very thankful for that, and thankful for our church and the kingdom of God and the gifts that you have poured out upon it with your Holy Spirit. May we use the gifts that you have entrusted to us, not for our selfishness, but for your glory. Lord, bless us this day and help us to be a blessing to others. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank Bill for coming forward to read the scripture.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture again comes from Matthew and is one of the parables. In this parable, Jesus talks about weeding the garden. Have you often thought about how people will say, if God is so good, why does he allow evil people in the world? Well, I think this parable addresses that. He allows us to become fruitful at the end, and then he makes the decision on whether we're evil or not. Matthew 13, 24 through 30, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds, weeds among the wheat, and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered. Because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Yet let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Going on to Matthew 13, 36 through 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom. Everything that causes sin, and all who do evil, they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Bless the hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Those of you who are gardeners are familiar with Murphy's first law of gardening. When weeding, the best way to make sure you're removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground very easily, it is a valuable plant. And of course, there's a corollary to that law. To distinguish flowers from weeds, simply pull up everything in the garden. What grows back are weeds. Last week we dealt with the parable of the sower, and we learned that there are different kinds of soil that produce different kinds of results. Today we're confronted with the question, what do you do with the weeds? Because we know that those who have ever tried to plant a flower garden or a vegetable garden or even a plain ordinary lawn, the seeds are going to come without a doubt. And if you take Jesus literally, this is a very scary parable. The weeds are going to be thrown on a fire and burn. Now, Jesus isn't giving as a guide to growing good wheat. He's talking about human behavior. But one thing is for sure, in this scenario, we do not want to be wheat or weed. It's like the story, and I don't know if this is exactly right, so some of you who have Roman Catholic backgrounds can straighten me out, but I pick on everybody equally if you've been here before. In Roman Catholic Church, I've been told that 7 is the tradition of the age of reason. When children reach 7, they are expected to attend Mass on a regular basis and go to confession. Because they are 7, they are accountable for their sins. So one 5-year-old girl was impressed when she learned that that was the age of reason. And when her older brother turned 7, she went to him and greeted him. She said, "Happy birthday, Matthew. Now you can go to hell." What an honor. Now that he's 7 and he's got an age of reason, he can be bound for Satan's dominion in his life. But let's be clear about one thing. Judgment is an important part of life. Someone was commenting on the often heard remark, "Everything happens for a reason." Then this observer said, "Yes, and the reason is found in Galatians 6:7. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." The reason some things happen to us is that we are reaping what we have sown in our lives. Judgment is a fact of life. You play, you pay, as we say in the common vernacular. Not always, of course, but that is often the case in our lives. In the movie The Last Emperor, the young child anointed as the last emperor of China lives in a magical world of luxury with 1,000 eunuch servants at his command to do everything that he wants, his every bidding. And his brother asks him, "What happens if you do something wrong and deserve punishment?" He said, "Well, when I do something wrong, someone else is punished." So he picks up a jar and he breaks it, and then a servant is taken and beaten. What a neat system if you are the emperor. You do the crime, someone else does the time. We can say that that doesn't happen in real life, but in a sense, it does. We often are innocent people punished for the sins of someone who is a drunk driver, and they get killed or maimed in a car accident. How many innocent children suffer because of the sins of abusive parents that beat them and hurt them physically or emotionally or even sexually? How many spouses suffer because of the waywardness of their partner, running around on them, cheating on them? Usually, however, we reap what we have sown. There's a bumper sticker with this message. You've probably seen it before. "Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet Jesus." That's an example of reaping what we have sown. However, if we get hit by that texting driver, we have reaped what someone else has sown. Not fair, but it happens. You and I may look at this parable and say it's horrible that the weeds get thrown into the fire, but that is the way life is. It's absurd to try to sugarcoat reality. If you plant a bad seed, no use praying for a good harvest. If you plant marigolds, no use praying for roses to grow instead. Most of the time, you're going to get what you sow. Or someone has said, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, maybe it's because the neighbors are taking better care of their lawn. What is dangerous is trying to figure out what other people are going to reap in their lives. Some people take delight in separating people into acceptable and unacceptable. And it's hard not to get caught into that trap, even for me. Worthy and unworthy, good and bad, wheat and weeds. Notice what happens in this parable. The landowner's servants come to him, tell him that the weeds in his wheat, and ask him if he wants them to pull up the weeds. The landowner tells them, "No, wait until the harvest, and then we will separate the wheat and the weeds." Harvesting the wheat in Jesus' times was very arduous work. The harvesters would use sickles, they would bend over and cut the wheat just above the ground. But what happens if the weeds are growing in the midst of the wheat. We're told that the weeds in Jesus' parable were a poisonous variety called bearded darnel. In the early stages of growth, this bearded darnel so resembles the wheat that you literally could not tell the difference in the two. Later, when it is possible to distinguish between them, the roots of the wheat and weeds are so intertwined that one could not be pulled up without tearing up the other. To rip up the weeds would also be to destroy the growth of the wheat. So the landowner was being wise when he said, no, let them grow up together until the harvest. So the harvesters were not allowed to try to separate the weeds from the wheat until it was time for the harvest. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, a constant theme in Jesus' teaching is that his followers were not to spend their time trying to pass their judgment on others. Traditionally, the primary sin of highly religious people is that of being self-righteous and judgmental towards others whom they disagree with. And we have a tendency to judge for ourselves who is fit for the kingdom and who is not, who is spiritual and who is worldly. That's a dangerous tendency. And I want to suggest three reasons why we cannot be the ones to decide who is wheat and who is a weed. First of all, we should not judge others because we ourselves are not totally acceptable. Writer Ken Crockett tells about a married couple who pull into a filling station or a gas station that is full service to refuel his car. As the tank was being filled, the gas station attendant began to wash the windshield. Some of you remember those days. When he finished, the husband stuck his head out the window and said, it's still dirty, wash it again. Attendant said, yes, sir, and began to wash the window again. And when he did, he said, it's still dirty, and his voice became rather gruff at the attendant. So he washed it again. He said, it's still dirty, wash it again. So he washed it again. He said, can't you get it right? It's just a window. Can't you clean my windshield properly? He said, clean it again. By that time, his wife reached over, took his eyeglasses off and a tissue out, cleaned his glasses, put them back on his face. He said, oh. So it wasn't the attendant's fault to begin with. It was his own fault for not having clean eyeglasses. But he was blaming someone else. Matthew 7:1 says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured back unto you. We forget that when we judge others, we are looking through a smudged lens on our glasses and not seeing everything as clearly as we think we are. Sometimes when we criticize, we are criticizing others unfairly. We don't know all their circumstances or their motives and what is going on in their lives or what has happened to them in their lives to bring them to this point. Only God, who is aware of all the facts, is able to judge that person correctly and righteously. Jesus said that we have enough to do to look at ourselves and to judge ourselves instead of spending all our time judging someone else. We're not to judge others, first of all, because we are not perfect ourselves. Leave it to God to judge who is wheat and who is weed. But there's a second, even more important reason we're not to judge others. When we pass judgment on others, we distance ourselves from the person we may be trying to help and even bring into the kingdom of God. I think one of the worst forms of judgment I've witnessed in a long time, and we keep seeing it on television, the news, ABC News, Fox News, whatever, just over and over again, is these people who are standing outside of the funeral for slain soldiers who've been killed in battle and holding the signs up. And that's all I'm even going to say about it, because I just think how horrible. Who are you going to bring into the kingdom of God by doing that? So narrow-minded, so hateful. Who's going to want to join a church? Who's going to want to come into the kingdom of God with such venom spewing out of their mouth from their signs, such hate? Where is the love in all that? We're all familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you remember John 3:17, though? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christ did not come to condemn people, but to save people. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. And so it is with us. We are not to spend our time in judging others into the kingdom of God. Our task is to love people, to witness to people, and try to draw them by love and mercy and kindness and good deeds into the church, into the kingdom of God. You see, the real problem with passing judgment on others is that it does not allow us to be the vehicles of God's grace that he has called us to be. And our central task is to help other people experience the God's grace that we have experienced in our own lives that has brought us to this point. We cannot do that if we come across with a condemning, hateful attitude. Besides, we simply don't know what kind of hurts other people may have experienced in their life, what kind of psychological or emotional hurt they may have. Ken Collins, a pastor in Kentucky, was working one day around his barn, and a squirrel came running past him, chirping, and ran into the barn and came back out, and there's a tree. He ran over to that tree and he spread his legs out like, you know, you see squirrels do. And then he ran away. Then he came back over towards Ken. And Ken thought, this squirrel must be rabid. So he grabbed a little big stick in case the squirrel came towards him to attack him. Then the squirrel came again and he spread out his legs again. And he saw the squirrel wanted to climb that tree, but he couldn't. And he looked and he saw blood running from the chest of the squirrel. Someone had shot the squirrel, and he was wounded, and he could not climb the tree to get into his nest. And Reverend Collins whispered this to the Lord. He said, "Lord, what message is there in this scene for me?" He said, then in the quietness of his own heart, said he felt like the Lord spoke to him and said, "Ken, you just witnessed a squirrel that was unable to climb a tree because it was wounded. I have a lot of children who have been wounded by Satan, but they are still my children. Do not condemn them because you do not understand, but do all you can to help them now that you do understand." F.B. Meyer once said that when we see a brother or sister in sin, there are two things that we do not know. First, we don't know how hard he or she may have tried not to sin. Second, we do not know the power of the forces that assailed that person. We also do not know what we would have done in the same circumstance. The teaching of the parable is very clear. There will come a time when the wheat and the weeds are separated at the end of time in the judgment. God alone will decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. But only God is in the position to condemn which is which. In the meantime, let us focus within the church on what God has called us to do. To love all people and to witness to the amazing grace of God is shown in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Amen. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure to his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life. Ask the seers to come forward at this time. And as they're coming forward, a few facts. Aubrey Bryn Sears was born on December the 1st, 2010 at West Penn Hospital to Christopher and Melissa. And the gown that she is wearing is 85 years old. And Brian's dad wore it, Kelly, and Brian himself wore it. And she is the first great-grandchild to wear this. So kind of special this morning. And our assistant clerk of session, Arlie Cornelius, is with us, and she will, in a few moments, will have a question to ask the congregation as you respond, because baptism is one of two sacraments in the Presbyterian Church, along with the Lord's Supper. So when we do it not in isolation, but baptism is done in community. Friends, in presenting your child for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want your child to study him, know him, love him, and serve him as his chosen disciple. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend to show Aubrey Bryn Sears to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of Glenshaw Valley Church, promise to tell this new disciple and child, Aubrey, the good news of the gospel, to help her know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen her family ties with the household of God?
Thank you. And I want to welcome both sides of the family being here for this very, very special moment today.
She's a little heavy.
That's okay.
You
can flip. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to walk out here a minute. Yeah, let everybody see you. Oh, what a beautiful baby. Yeah, get those cameras clicking. Video recorders. See, I like cameras. Your day. This is your day, yes. Yeah. You like my voice? Don't forget about the choir here. A lot of yeah. Look at them looking at you. You're so special. This is your family. This is your other family. This is your church family. We all have a responsibility to help raise her in the faith that she comes to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior, and has the promise of eternal life to spend with the saints that have gone before, the saints that will go after, to spend all eternity in heaven. What a wonderful and beautiful thing. The first birth that was natural, then the new birth. Yeah. Audrey Bryn Sears, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this young life, her physical life, and just as important, even more important, the spiritual life. Such an important time in her life, the parents' life, grandparents, extended family, and the church for this baptism. And we have an awesome responsibility ahead of us to help her find Jesus Christ. And at that time of accountability for her, to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior, and to have that full assurance of heaven and eternal life, that relationship with you. Help us to do our very best to show her love, compassion, but also a loving discipline. May we provide as best we can for her shelter, food, all those things, but also a right way of life, to live a good, righteous, and holy life. Help her understand right from wrong. We thank you for that, Lord, giving us all this opportunity. Help us all to grow in our faith, to remember this day. And when she looks back on photographs and different things, that she will even remember this, not remembering it because she can remember what happened, but something will click inside of her. And she will think, what a special moment in my life. What a special moment in time. My baptism. We thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. After the song and benediction, they will stand at the front and give you all an opportunity to come up and a closer look and welcome. God bless. A closing hymn, 29, Glorify Thy Name. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you go thinking about the sacrament of baptism. Maybe you were an adult when you were baptized and you remember it. Maybe you have photographs of when you were baptized and you look back on it and reflect it. Maybe you'll just go thinking about this baptism that took place today, how important it is, and how important faith in this life is. And we all come to the end of the road one day, and we all face death, and we face eternity. And how important it is at the end of time to be with the wheat and not with the weeds. And go in love and mercy. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.